Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is a takeaway from WNYC and PRX in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
Firearm suicide is the leading cause of firearm death in this country.
A lot of elected officials and lobbyists have promoted the idea of, well, this is just a mental health problem. Don't talk about the gun. This is really about depression.
It wasn't locked up. It was in the back of my husband's closet in a gun bag. We didn't know that she knew it was there.
All this week, The Takeaway has been exploring the link between guns and suicide. Today, we finish our series with voices of those working on the front lines to address suicide by firearm. For that, we head to Buffalo, New York.
Crisis Services, this is Rachelle. How may I help you?
Erie County, where Buffalo is located, recently went against the national trend when it comes to suicide. In 2018, its suicide rate actually went down by 9%. Why? Well, in part because of a 24-hour crisis center hotline headquartered in Buffalo.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What's going on today?
People call the hotline. There's a variety of reasons that they're calling. We have become the safety net for the community over the years. So folks are calling us if they are in a mental health crisis with their family or with them. They call us and we are able to do a small assessment to see if they need further care.
That's Rachelle Morrison, Counseling Program Director for Erie County's Crisis Services.
I am the program director of our 24-hour suicide prevention hotline, as well as our addictions hotline.
To determine how to handle a call, counselors at the crisis center first have to understand the specifics of the caller's situation.
If someone is calling a hotline and they are feeling like they're suicidal and they want to harm themselves, we do assessment and then we determine if the means is there. For instance, if they have a weapon or if they plan to use pills to overdose. If those answers and those questions are immediate, then we would reach over to our emergency outreach program we have here, or we would call 911 for an emergency welfare check.
When the caller does have a weapon, Rachelle says the counselors follow a very specific protocol to try and de-escalate the situation.
So what we would do is try to stabilize the person and see if we can remove the person from the weapon. So if the person is saying, yes, I do have a gun, we would ask a question, do you have bullets? Is the gun loaded with the bullets? Can you take the bullets out or can you just walk away from the gun? We would try to get them to be removed from the weapon and then try and talk to them and see if we can reach an agreement for a plan of safety.
Just because someone says they're suicidal or just because they have a firearm doesn't mean they're going to use it or doesn't mean they're going to act on it. So we would really have to ask some deep screening questions to determine whether or not we need to get intervention to that person.
That's Supervising Counselor Jennifer Giambra-Ort. And while not all of the calls into the crisis center are directly related to suicide, Jennifer says it's a big part of the job.
Every day there's at least one person in our community that is struggling with suicide thoughts or feelings, and we are talking them down and linking them with the appropriate services needed to ensure their safety at least every day.
Jennifer says there's also a fair amount of overlap between the types of calls that come into crisis services and what counselors hear in other parts of the country.
I think it's universal, and I think if you interviewed someone in Las Vegas, they would say the same. You know, suicide doesn't discriminate where you're at.
But there are some key differences when it comes to firearms. Celia Spacone is the coordinator of the Suicide Prevention Coalition of Erie County, of which Crisis Services is a part.
Erie County is unique in a way in that we have a large urban center, the city of Buffalo, but we also have rural, semi-rural, suburban communities as well. So we have the whole spectrum. And with suicide prevention, some of the rural areas are at higher risk than even the urban areas.
And according to Celia, that higher risk is a result of a number of factors unique to rural areas.
What it appears to be is difficulty accessing services, sometimes a lack of services in rural areas, but also transportation issues about getting to services, and also increased firearm ownership in rural areas. There's typically more firearms available in the home, hunting, private use, and we know that with suicide risk, firearm ownership correlates with increased rates of suicide.
But Erie County, says Celia, has also managed to find some effective solutions to prevent firearm suicides in particular.
Our rates would suggest that things are working better here than perhaps in other areas. And I think there's strong support on the county level from the departments of mental health and the Department of Health working together on this topic. So I think there's a lot of concern, there's awareness, and there's an investment in taking it on.
For the Crisis Center, an essential part of the work is knowing where to focus their outreach. And in both Erie County and at the national level, men are the highest risk group for suicide.
You know, men feel less inclined to reach out for mental health services than women. And so we know that that's an issue. And we also know that they tend to use more lethal methods when they do attempt, methods that don't have any kind of a rescue potential with them, and that's firearms. So we have a public service announcement we just developed, and it's called Be a Man, and it's a 30-second clip with local men who are willing to step up and say, you know, I've had mental health challenges in my life, and I did get help, and it made a difference.
But gender is just one part of the picture. Sarah Boone, one of the outreach counselors at the Crisis Center, says for the most part, the people they're helping don't fall neatly into one specific demographic group.
We see people who are at all ends of the spectrum of socioeconomic status, cultural identity, citizenship status, gender identification. We truly do see it all. And all of those people have the underlying commonality that they're facing something in terms of their mental health or their life circumstances that they don't feel individually equipped to handle.
And part of her team's job, Sarah says, is to meet clients from a place of understanding.
It's very important to be aware of cultural differences in how we view firearms, the right to firearms, access to firearms, and expressing to our clients that we respect their views, we respect their rights, and that we're just trying to balance their rights with their safety so that they can continue to live to enjoy those rights at a different time in their life.
For Celia Spicone, bridging some of those cultural differences has recently involved going out of her way to talk directly to gun owners.
We did a recent tabling at a very large gun show. We gave out free gun locks to anyone who would come up to the table, read a quick brochure, and sign a pledge that they would keep their guns safe at home, keep them locked. So we're taking the point of view that we're not telling anybody not to have a firearm in their home. That's their decision. But to keep it safe for themselves, keep it safe from perhaps children in the home, or, you know, it could be a grandparent and grandchildren coming through.
And while gun locks may seem like just a small measure, putting a slight barrier between someone contemplating suicide and a deadly weapon can still be an important step. According to the CDC, many suicide attempts occur within 5 to 10 minutes of an initial suicidal thought. To get through to gun show attendees, Celia told us she emphasizes this message.
We're really taking a different approach, that we are absolutely not being anti-gun, but we are anti-suicide. There's always another opportunity to take your life, but once you've done it, there's no more opportunity. So we're hoping people will take that and pause and make a call to crisis services.
Thanks to producer Rob Gunther for his reporting for this segment and this series. And to find all the segments on guns and suicide that aired this week on the program, visit thetakeaway.org/guns. And if you or someone you know might be considering suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. For crisis support in Spanish, call 1-888-628-9454.